Good afternoon and welcome to KILJ's Focus program. I'm Lisa Grillo. Every Sunday, we bring you an in-depth look at interesting events, news, and information. On Friday afternoon, KILJ's Katie Johansson had an opportunity to visit with Congresswoman Marionette Miller Meeks. Miller Meeks talked with Katie about what's been going on in Congress over the past couple of weeks.
Well, hello, folks. Thanks for tuning in here to KILJ. We've got a great conversation for you, a great update on what's happening in Washington, D.C. I have Congresswoman Marionette Miller Meeks with me on the phone. Congresswoman, how are you?
I am doing well. Delighted to be back in Iowa on a nice sunny day, and it was warmer. It's warmer here than it was in Washington, D.C. this morning.
Well, fantastic. I'm glad that you made it back safely, and I know it's been a busy time for you in D.C.
It has been an extremely busy time. As you know, this week we had some tremendously successful votes for our district, for Iowa, and for the Midwest in general. So we have been working very diligently the years I have been in Congress to get a lifting of a prohibition on selling ethanol 15 or blended ethanol to the 15% level. It's a prohibition by the EPA from, you know, decades old technology. And every summer for the past at least 11 years, the EPA has granted a waiver to be able to sell E15. And we finally got through the House after we had set up an energy council in February. Speaker Johnson had us set up an energy council. I was nominated to be the co-chair of that and deferred and suggested Representative Feenstra because he has the biggest ag district. And Representative Feenstra and Representative Bice from Oklahoma did a phenomenal job. We all worked through all of the groups, both sides of the aisle, for those that support the biofuel industry. And so this is a huge win for domestic homegrown American energy. I use blended ethanol 15% in my vehicles. We know that almost 50% of the stations right now in Iowa sell E15, and we're going to see that continue to ramp up. So I know that my fuel costs are lower here than they are in other states. And so I always appreciate it when I come back to Iowa and I can pay lower in gas. But we know that this is also something that's going to help with the price of gas people are paying right now as we're working through what's happening in Iran. Very pleased that there is a ceasefire in Iran, but we're still working to get gasoline and other prices lowered and more affordable. So, huge win. It was a heavy lift. It was a lot of work, a lot of late nights, but we were able to get that across the finish line, and now the Senate has to do its job. So I would tell people to contact Senator Ernst and Senator Grassley, and if they're from other parts of the Midwest, contact their senators and make sure they get this totally across the finish line and signed into law.
Yeah, I agree. I use it in my vehicle as well and appreciate the lower cost that comes with that. So talk to me about appropriations and fiscal year 27 here that we're coming upon. You got some stuff done there too.
Yes, we did in record time. So as you know, the Republicans don't like big, large omnibus bills where things are crammed in. So there are 12 committee appropriations. We just passed the first one in the House, and that is for fiscal year 27. That was military construction and veterans affairs. So it's called MILCON VA. So the MILCON VA appropriations bill passed through the House in record time. You typically try to get these done by July. So we just passed the first of the 12. We've got more to follow, but the Appropriations Committee and members of Congress are working very diligently to get requests in, to get letters of support in, and to make sure we get our appropriations bills done for fiscal year 27. As we know, the current fiscal year will run out September 30th. So then October 1st, if the government's not funded, then you're looking at a shutdown. We do not want another shutdown. You know, we've had these conversations before, Katie, about funding the government, and I have voted to fund the government even when I was in the minority because I think that's our job to do. I didn't always like some of the places where spending went, or the priority of spending, or the excessive spending of the Biden administration, which drove inflation up to 9% in 2022 and 20% cumulatively year over year by 2024. But nonetheless, the majority party sets the budget and the appropriations process. We don't want big omnibus bills. We want to prioritize spending and know where it goes. And these packages are going through regular order. The bills are discussed. Funding is discussed as they're put in through the subcommittee process, the committee process, and then as they emerge onto the House floor. So that's a huge lift and a tremendous success to be able to get single committee appropriations bill, you know, already passed the House at this early date. And I'm looking forward to us getting all of our appropriation bills done. After the August district work period, we'll come back in September, and hopefully we'll have all these appropriations done by that time.
What are some of the things that you're hoping to influence with funding or how money is being spent? What are you focused on?
Well, you know, there's lots of areas of focus. We have, finished our farm bill. So that was the week before. That was another huge heavy lift. We know in 2024 it didn't get passed because the Senate Democrats hadn't done text in their ag committee. So we didn't have text from the Senate, even though we had finished it in the House side. But nonetheless, there still is ag funding that's in separate committee with USDA funding. So that's an important aspect. Health and Human Services is another important. Transportation infrastructure. We've got a highway bill that we're going to be working on next week. So very important for us with our roads and bridges. And we do some of that in our community project funding as well. So those are all important aspects. We have children's online safety. That's not a funding priority, but that is a priority as far as getting things passed through the House at this point in time. We're working with Department of Defense as our Department of War and Secretary of the Army on both Rock Island Arsenal and Iowa Army Ammunitions Plant. Keeping their levels of funding. But then also, there's other bills like the Clarity Act, which is on digital currency or cryptocurrency, stable coins, looking at ensuring that for financial democracy and having, financial assets that the government can't stop. We saw what happened with President Trump when Chase said that they were going to debank him. And we've also seen the federal government intrude and pressure banks not to extend capital loans to certain industries that they don't like. So we're looking forward to seeing that come from the Senate. And then next, very importantly, is housing. We had already passed 21st Century Housing Act in the House. It went to the Senate. The Senate's working on it. There's some things that we see are problematic and wouldn't lower the cost of housing or help home buyers. So they're working on negotiations on that, but we would really like to see housing affordability take front and center and get that passed within the next several weeks.
All right. Well, that sounds good. You talked a little bit of what's coming up. Is there anything else, I guess, when we talk about that you are looking forward to, or things that, you know, Southeast Iowans need to know about when it comes to what's happening in D.C.?
So I think they certainly should keep their eyes on Clarity Act, which is stable coins, on the housing bills. They may want to have some input into that defense funding as it relates. For Iowa, we don't have large military bases, but in our district, certainly Rock Island Arsenal, where employees live in Iowa, even though the Rock Island Arsenal is technically in Illinois, but still it affects our district. Funding for the Corps of Engineers, which is important for locks and dams, and then certainly all of the ag funding is going to be very important. Health and Human Services, so far we're not seeing dramatic changes in that. And then we're still trying to get ICE and Customs and Border Protection funded. It's on the Senate side now, and the Senate parliamentarian stripped out some of the funding. because it didn't pass the bird rule. It came out in the bird wash, as it's called, the vernacular here in D.C. And so that's being reworked so we can get those agencies funded so that they can do the good work that they're doing.
Well, thank you so much for taking some time out of your schedule to call in here today and give us a little update on what's been going on in D.C. And more personally, I have to ask you, are you a grandmother yet?
I am a grandmother. I have a lovely granddaughter, and it has been, you know, just a joy. She's still not to the interactive stage, per se. The fun part will come, I think, fun part will come later.
Sure.
But yeah, just working through that with a new mom and how overwhelming that is, and trying to support the parents as much as we can. But yeah, it's just wonderful. And let me also say that we are working on childcare. That's another thing that's, since you brought this up, that is another thing we're continuing to work on. And several of our community project fundings are geared towards childcare. But we are working on that as well. And we've got a bipartisan package on paid family leave, as well as some of the other childcare auspices. So that's coming down the pike. And if people are having difficulties with federal agencies, either Social Security, the IRS, visas, passports, sometimes it's a city that's had a grant, but they're waiting for funding. Please contact our office. We have an office in Davenport, an office in Indianola, as well as the DC office. And people should feel free to reach out to us so that we can assist them.
I love that you say that. I know that I've seen you work with people, constituents coming up to you, taking down their information, getting their questions answered and getting them to the right place. And so I love that you are open and willing and always helpful with your constituents. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you. And, enjoy very much being able to reach out to you. And so we're available anytime that you think we need to have a conversation or want to have a conversation and update people what's happening in D.C. and how that it affects their lives, and just assure people we're continuing to work on, creating more jobs here in the United States, better paying jobs that allow people to have affordable lifestyles, and working on those issues that affect both their cost of living, their lifestyle, as well as their security.
Well, thank you very much, Congresswoman Marionette Miller Meeks. Anything else on your mind today while you've got the microphone?
Well, I would say, Katie, that everybody should go out and enjoy this great weekend as we're coming into Memorial Day. We're just finishing out National Police Week, and then we'll have Memorial Day. So just deeply grateful for all of those who serve in the capacity in law enforcement, firefighters, and in our military, and what they have done to secure our safety, our security, and most important, our liberties and our rights. So I'm going to give a shout out to all of those individuals as we're going towards the end of May and finishing up National Police Week and going towards Memorial Day.
Well, thank you so much, and rightfully so, as you should. You enjoy your time here in Iowa before you've got to head back to D.C., and Representative Miller Meeks will catch up with you soon, I'm sure.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Katie. You hope everybody has a great weekend.
Thank you for joining KILJ Radio for this week's Focus program. I'm Lisa Griglio. Have a great week.